Ever catch yourself eating the same flavorless dinner 3 days in a row? Dreaming of something better? Well, HelloFresh is your guilt-free dream come true, baby. It's me, Keke Palmer. Let's wake up those taste buds with hot, juicy pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Mm. Hello Fresh. Stop dreaming of all the delicious possibilities and dig in at HelloFresh.com. Let's get this dinner party started.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me, because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/achieve today.
We're recording.
Recording, everybody. Hello, hello.
Hello, hello.
Welcome to Two Black Girls, One Rose.
Where together we'll uncover what we can learn about modern dating, love, and relationships from popular television. I'm Natasha.
And I'm Justine.
And Wendy's about to be on an island. She's about to be on an island.
Oh my God. We have a lot to talk about with Wendy.
Is going all over her. Even Candace was looking at her like, I know.
Was like, please, girl, please.
It's like you can't defend her. Like, anyone who was on her team is like, they're not making, like, nothing's making sense now. So they're like, what?
Have you been on the internet since we recorded?
No, I haven't caught up. I literally just watched the episode. Yeah.
Okay. Literally every single person disagrees with us. Everybody's team Wendy.
Who's everybody? Who are these people?
Here's the thing. These people are West Indian people. Or West Indian. These people are West African people.
Okay. Okay.
So they understood what Nneka was saying in a way that we did not understand what Nneka was saying.
And what was that?
Basically that Nneka was almost like kind of code switching is kind of like the framework that I got from all of the stuff on Instagram and TikTok and Twitter for sure that I saw is that Nneka was saying like, oh, your mom said that she would submit me to a shrine. She said this, she said that. And the cadence with which Wendy's mom could have said that could have changed the entire tone of that conversation. So she could have said, I didn't submit you to a shrine. I didn't do this. I didn't do that. But Nneka is saying that is her plan. So there are different sides to this story that West African people are coming with. And it was even in our comments, too. People were commenting. They were like, we disagree with you. We don't think so. West African people in our comments of our last episode.
Okay, but what are they disagreeing on? I don't get it. That Nneka's lying?
That Nneka could be not. Here's the thing, because it's not lying. Like, code switching is not lying, right? But that she's displaying something about a culture that other people don't know in a way that is harmful to Nigerian culture specifically.
Like she's dropping terms, shrine, praying against without explaining it, I guess.
Without explaining it, yeah. Yeah, okay. And explaining what that means to them. And then people were making comments, too, about Nneka calling Wendy's mom a witch. And how detrimental that is, which I agree.
I mean, that was fighting words. Really yeah.
It was very stereotypical. It was very, I mean, there's like definitely a really horrible stereotype about African religion, West African religion specifically.
Like dabbling in
Caribbean
the dark
religion.
Yeah.
So to call her an elder when they come from the same tribe, a witch, was worse than anything that Wendy could have done. Anything that Wendy has said.
Yeah, I hear all that. I mean, that calling anybody's mom out their name is just low down and dirty.
Period.
Insinuating that she's dabbling in a witchcraft. Not great, Nneka.
Yeah.
But I also don't feel like Nneka's lying, though. Like, I don't feel like she just literally made up all of these things that Wendy's mom purportedly said. Sure. Could she give more context? Sure. Absolutely. Sure. But I think at the end of the day, it's like very she said, she said. Did your mother say these things or not? Did she threaten to pray against my family or not? I don't need the context in the West Indian Urban Dictionary to understand what praying against somebody means. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm, like, did she do that or not? Did your cousin, your sister, I don't even know, they're talking to circles at this point. Did your sister,
in-law,
and Lebe, and then the sister, like the cousin-in-law, like, did she call her, my sister or cousin, whatever, and say I'm cloud chasing or not? Like, that's really what it comes down to.
Right.
For me, it's distilled down to that. And I don't think NECA is lying. We've already seen Wendy lie by saying she doesn't know her or she's never met her. And that's a lie. Right. You've met her before. So
she got caught at the end of this episode.
Yeah.
Ooh, that was bad.
So I need to spend more time, I guess, in the comments and whatnot to see what other people are saying. But for me, it gets down to that. It's like, is Wendy or NECA, who's lying? And I've already seen that Wendy was lying. So Wendy,
and this is not the first time that Wendy has pulled this. Like, what do you mean? Well, I don't know. Well, I don't know
what a PA is. Exactly. So
that she's a little bit distrustworthy with that.
Yeah.
That people also are mad that NECA, this Nigerian woman, came onto the show with this storyline. Mm-hmm. Of such stereotypical storyline. This is like not cute. And then aligning herself with the people who were blatantly colorist last season. Mm-hmm. Not great. Not great. So I see them. I hear them. I get it. I do.
Not great. But NECA didn't come in denying Wendy, though. NECA didn't
come in denying Wendy. She could have come in with any other storyline, though. We got to like get a storyline. You have a dog. You have a husband who owns a nightclub. Like, what else?
So
you hate Wendy, like.
Yeah, but Wendy's mom called with all these things to do. So how am I not going to say them?
Oh, no, she's definitely she's definitely going to say them. But I think
particularly when I saw you at the housewarming and you pretended you didn't know me. And on the low ski, your mom and your sister are calling around town saying I'm cloud chasing. Mm-hmm. Like, I'm not trying to come in with this storyline, but this is what's actually happening in my life right now. Mm-hmm, you know, so. What, like, is NECA supposed to just ignore that, pretend that's not happening?
No, not ignore it, but I think she could come with something besides, I'm trying to have a baby, I'm low-key an alcoholic, and I'm going against the only other Nigerian on the show. I mean, she swallows her vitamins or champagne in the morning because she loves bubbles. Mm-hmm. Like, you know what I mean? Mm-hmm. We're, like, dabbling in alcoholism. And, you know, that we could come with a little bit better than that. We come with a little bit more than like I studied this show front to back and I'm coming up against the only thing we could have done. We could have. I understand. I get that. I definitely do.
Yeah. I mean, NECA wasn't my favorite in the first episode, but I don't know what the fuck Wendy's doing. And like, I hear what people are saying with the Nigerian versus Nigerian, and maybe NECA could have came differently, but Wendy also didn't. Wendy's also playing in that same race.
She's not helping.
Yeah. She's also playing into this Nigerian versus Nigerian storyline. So they're both feeding into it from both angles. But the thing that I stand next to NECA on is that I feel like Wendy's just flat out lying.
Yeah, right. So. Right. Yeah.
Anyways, I mean, what are your other
lot of my initial thoughts. Okay. Because when someone commented that on our post, I was like, oh, this is interesting. And this is interesting because as an African-American person, I was like, maybe I don't get something. Maybe something's not clicking with me. And then I go on Instagram and TikTok, and it's all these people that are refuting Wendy and saying that, or refuting NECA and saying NECA. That Wendy was in the right.
Simply because NECA brought up terms and things that the general audience wouldn't understand. Oh,
that also the fact that she came up with the only other Nigerian on the show when the rest of the cast has a colorism problem. Mm-hmm. That also sucks. Mm-hmm. And Some people were coming with the Facebook thing, which I thought was incorrect. I think we are spot on with the Facebook thing with Eddie and EK. we know what we're talking, like, mm-hmm. they knew each other. Stop. Mm-hmm. And he unfriended him. You know what I mean? Like,
That takes effort.
Yeah. You went and then you searched him. You saw, oh my God, I did know him. Fuck. And then you unfriended him. Like, stop.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
But I just thought that was interesting what people were saying. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah, I got to read in the comments a little bit, I guess, to see the other side. But yeah, it is very disappointing seeing these two women in particular fighting.
These two, yeah.
Like, this is very, very annoying, particularly, as we said, with this here season with these women and all the colorism issues they've had, all of the lack of, like, defense of the black, of the darker-skinned black women.
Yeah.
It's, like, very annoying. So, yeah, I hear people being mad at NECA coming in with this and riding in on this coattail. But Wendy ain't helping either. So I don't think we can, like, just look at one. And then also Ashley didn't help either when she brought the whole Osu article. You know, that didn't help.
I think that NECA should have gone to Candace with that, not Ashley. And I think that was very specific that she went to Ashley. I mean, she studied the show. We saw from the last scene of this episode, she has studied the show. She has taken notes, and that's never good either. I hate.
Yeah. I mean, we're at this point now. Comes on,
I so can't stand it. Oh my God. When they come on and they've just studied the whole cast and they know everything about everything.
Yeah.
But that's what she did, which is annoying.
Yeah. And I don't know the what, because NECA came in as Ashley's friend. Like, I don't know how that came about. I think in an ideal world, sure, she would have came in with the darker skinned girl as a friend, but I don't know how they arranged that or if that really is her friend. I have no idea. But Yeah. It's a weird one, this one.
It's interesting. It creates a lot of dialogue. It's interesting.
Anything you're excited to talk about?
So what I'm excited to talk about this episode has absolutely nothing to do with friendships or relationships. This is everything to do with housewifery.
Okay.
Because it's a question that I thought about so many times when watching this episode. How wealthy do housewives have to be entertaining?
How wealthy?
Because when I saw these bitches at the gate, Natasha, I wanted to lay down and die. Not one of you has an Amex lounge card. Not one of you. Not a single one of you. Nobody we are literally at the
Sky
gate
Miles
with everyone else. Michelle Obama watches this show. You could not catch me dead at the gate.
Oh God.
No. And then everyone's clothes are very recognizable from Instagram. Very recognizable. I know exactly where they got all that shit. The maximum Nordstrom. And I think it's an interesting topic that people bring up a lot. And especially because these girls are clearly the best franchise, but they're also some of the most like basic in terms of dressing. Like, is that part of the
Potomac? Because they are not the fashion girls.
Not it. Mm-hmm. On the Eastern Seaboard of all things. Why are we going up to New York? Why are we doing these things? How important is it for that extreme unattainable wealth to still be entertaining as a housewife?
Yeah, I mean, kind of why. I mean, we'll get into it, but we're watching Housewives because we're also loving the window into like the lives of the rich and famous, you know? So when
the affluence, foolish, affluent women do foolish things.
Yeah. That's how the franchise started with The Real Housewives of OC. So, yeah, there is like an expectation that we have as viewers now that they're not going to be regular like us, you know? So, yeah, that is interesting. Yeah, I'm curious what people think on that.
Me too. What about you, friend? What did you think?
So my thoughts. So I talked already about Wendy, me not really understanding her thought process.
The strategy.
Yeah. And it is, to me, giving she wanted to be the only Nigerian. Like, is that it?
Oh, I hate it.
That's what it's giving to me. That's why I'm so confused hearing you say like the people who are on her side and like are anti-Nekka. And I'm like, I don't understand what it's giving to me from Wendy's perspective. This denying her, this pretending like she don't know her, this, you know, your mom is fully calling her and lacing her out with all kinds of craziness. And you're pretending like that's not real. It's giving. Yeah. I didn't want her here in this space. You know, this is my space. I didn't want her here. And so we're going to be beefing from Jump Street. And I can't put all of that on Nekka. That's not all on Nekka. So.
Okay. Yeah.
That's my first. Like, I just don't understand Wendy's thought process and like what's. I feel like there's so much more we're just not seeing. Nekka's giving us a window into that with telling us the mom and the sister and giving us all that tea. But I feel like there's other, I don't know, small town drama that we're not among Wendy and their community that we're not getting the full story as to why Wendy's acting like this and how it got to this point. But that was my first thought. I was like, I just don't understand what Wendy's doing. And she's like, by the end of the episode with Ashley, Candace, all of them kind of looking around like nobody's gonna be on her side because it doesn't make sense.
Yeah.
And Nekka's the one bringing receipts and call logs and timestamps. And
the call logs are killing me.
Call logs are killing me. They're all over the place, but it's giving me more receipts than you, Wendy. So I don't know. I'm gonna read the comments and try to understand more of the collective internet.
Yeah,
viewpoint. But that's where I'm at. So I apologize if I'm coming from another place and y'all are know something I don't. But that's how I ended the episode. Secondly, my second thought: Mia and Gordon's shenanigans is nuts.
This is a lot.
I don't actually know what's going on with them. To me, it seems as if Gordon just does bad business. It just seems like some bad business deals. Now it feels like Mia, this is her husband, right? She got kids with this man. Like, she's now financially tied up with someone who overnight was voted out from his company. He's suing everybody left and right.
He's selling companies.
Hiring attorneys. It's just giving fraud. It's giving for Mia, like, bitch, your money is not safe in this man's accounts. And I hope you have your own personal accounts, boo, because
you know, she's been embezzling with that.
I hope to God she has been, because whatever he got going on sounds so unstable. I feel like that's really what she's going through is like, I have kids with this man overnight. I'm learning a lot about what the fuck kind of business he actually runs. And she's trying to just like navigate those waters. It seems very messy. And then what I'm excited to talk about is the question of, can jealousy ever exist in a friendship?
Oh, love this question.
My thought, I don't even know where I'm at with this yet, but I'm thinking for Nekka and Wendy, like, do these two ever do they have any hope? You know, they started off on such a bad footing. And I think at the root of some of it can be jealousy or some type of envy from either one of them, you know, Wendy, as I said, wanting this to be the only slot for the Nigerian and, you know, jealous of this young, you know, new face coming into the franchise. It could be Nekka wanting a little bit of what Wendy has.
Well, Wendy has a great life. So,
Yeah, she's
got a great husband,
kids, and Nekka is, you know, trying to get pregnant now. And so it's a little bit of looking over on the other side and seeing greener pastures. But can that exist? Like, in a friendship, can these two women ever be friends if there's going to be like some underlying foundation of like envy and jealousy? Do they have hope? So that's what I would love to discuss. So, yeah. Should be an interesting episode.
Yeah, definitely.
Okay, pre-show. We didn't even talk. I had some stuff. I don't know if you have anything.
Oh, just the stuff about Madeline Brock, because that bitch.
Oh, let's start there.
Crazy. I had to text this to Natasha earlier this week.
So they had this $50 million wedding.
At least. Yep.
Mm-hmm. $50 million. They had all of this content that came on TikTok literally the day before the wedding.
Clearly to launch this young lady's Instagram career. Yes. And influencer career.
Right. 1,000%.
Sophia Richie.
Yeah.
That's what it was giving.
100%. Yeah. Right. Okay. It was the same tactic, right?
Same thing.
Because Sophia didn't have anything really on TikTok before, right? Mm-mm. And then for those of you who don't know, as of like this weekend, everything's been taken down TikTok.
Mm-hmm.
And it's been revealed that her husband is facing like charges on like assaulting police officers or something.
Assaulting two police officers, yes. Which I texted Natasha and she also agreed. We did not even know that was a charge. I didn't even know you could make it all the way out. I didn't know you could make it out of jail. You can go and get married.
You can go and get married. In what world? Yo, white people live in a whole other stratosphere. I said, wait, when did this happen? Did this just happen? They said, no, this happened in March.
March.
My nigga got married, had a whole public TikTok wedding. Yeah.
Oh, yeah. At the Palace of Versailles.
He left the country? Like, how you left the country? Like that alone, I was like, wait, what?
So,
anything else came out or just like that? They just disappeared off of the internet.
Little things came out about Madeline's parents, about how they're so rich. I guess they are in Florida. They own some part of a Mercedes-Benz dealership and they sold it for like $100 million or something like that.
Mm-hmm.
How you could go and spend 59 of those million on one event. I don't know how to multiply that money like that. I hope to get there one day, but I'm not there yet. All of her stuff was taken down. She only had like maybe 12 TikToks and they're all taken down. And everybody's talking about that Marie Antoinette one. Everybody's like, bitch, are you fucking for real with this Marie Antoinette theme?
I know. Bruh.
So crazy.
Wow.
So it was crazy after like a week. So I hope you got what you wanted, Madeline.
I hope so. God, that's nuts.
Mm-hmm.
Speaking of no good husbands, you saw Kelly Clarkson and her husband.
Oh God,
girl. Again, so for those who don't know, we reported on this forever ago.
A long time. Yes.
How
Chelsea Francis? Yes.
Kelly Clarkson had one of the most expensive divorces like ever. She had to pay alimony and all kinds of shit to her husband because he was her husband slash manager.
Mm-hmm.
Her career blew up. He's also like the son or something. She's somehow related to Reba McEntire.
Reba's son.
Reba's son.
Oh, I'm sorry. He's Reba's ex-husband's son. And she too was swindled.
Was swindled. So two scamming ass father-son duo is out here just ripping off these rich Hollywood ladies.
These poor musical talents.
Yeah, poor little Kelly Clarkson. Shit. So he had got paid some bit, like she had to pay him
some wild amount.
Like you usually don't see this from particularly a woman to a man.
Yeah.
In the spotlight. It was just reported this past weekend. He has now been ordered to return $2.6 million.
That much?
Oh,
shit.
Back to Kelly. And what they said went wrong was, or what her legal team is accusing, is that he unlawfully obtained work for her between 2017 and 2020 in capacity of manager. So he... booked things like
whatever appearance,
you know, the Masked Singer, or like Dancing with the Stars, like booked these different things, charged a commission, and she paid him for that. They are saying he was outside of his right as manager. Those types of handlings are supposed to be handled by her agent at CNA.
So he 15% on top of the 10.
So he was doing all these different jobs and then charging her for it. When as a manager, his sole responsibility, they say, is he's supposed to be just coordinating her schedule, basically.
Right.
So he did all this extra work and then now he's trying to charge her for it and got paid for it. And now they're saying, actually, no, he needs to pay that money back. That was not within his right. Ooh. A mess. So,
well, he definitely has it.
He has it.
He
was paid a big old hefty sum from her. So that happened with Kelly Clarkson. And then Rachel Levis, Rachel formerly Raquel.
I can't. Levis
has a new podcast coming.
No.
Dropping in January. I'm so tired. Why are they giving everybody a mic? We don't need no more podcasts.
Somebody said the other day, podcast equipment should start charged $200,000. That's how much it should be.
Yes. To buy a microphone should cost you tens of thousands. It is too cheap, and now everybody's buying mics. Oh my God. I do not need to hear this child speak. She struggles with putting words together.
Oh my God.
Why? I'm going to listen to her interview people and do interviews with others.
Who is going on her show?
They said she will be welcoming prominent guests spanning the realms of entertainment, pop culture, mental health, and self-help.
See, we don't need her in the mental health or self-help space either.
No.
There's enough scammers, girl. We don't need you too. No. You know what I'm saying? Like, we're good. Oh, Rachel.
Yeah. So another podcast coming our way, guys.
No, we're good. We're good, Rach. Oh,
God. So that happened. And then in happier news, Ashanti and Nelly are expecting.
That's so exciting.
It's very exciting. I love watching them. They look so happy.
11-year-old, right? Isn't your 11-year-old self like, oh my God.
Living. Absolutely living. First of all, they both did not age. They both look
at all. Oh my God. Ashanti looks.
She looks phenomenal. She looks better than she's ever looked. Her body is like on point. Sick, yo. And Nelly looks like Nelly. Nelly looks like he's always looked. Hasn't changed. Still fine. Like
I know. He went through a lot of legal stuff too for him to like go through all that
and to still
look good.
Yeah, look like he hasn't aged crazy. So shout out to them. Excited for them. Aww, they just look so happy. I love that little nostalgic love. Those two.
Black love rekindling.
Yes.
Love it.
I love it too. Anyways, it is popping on Patreon, y'all. Shout out to the Patreon community. We just wrapped up Golden Bachelor. We're wrapping up Bachelor in Paradise. We had a lot going on last week, actually. I want to actually shout out some of the collabs we did last week.
Yes, thank you so much for stepping in.
Oh, I got you. Me. No worries. Yes. But we were on the Bechdel Cast podcast.
Oh my God.
Me and Justine recorded that a few weeks ago with Caitlin and Jamie talking about The Preacher's Wife and breaking down that classic movie from a feminist lens. It was a very interesting conversation. So definitely check out Bechdel. And then we were with our friends, Julie and UA from Dateable podcast on their pod a few weeks ago or last week. So check that out. And then we had a bonus episode drop. We did a holiday movie romances countdown with Danny Pellegrino, brought to you by Nordstrom. That dropped on the feed last week as well. And then, we had some fun guests last week. Chelsea, Kate Casey, all those episodes dropped. So check those out. But yeah, we're out here in these streets. We're having a lot of fun, y'all.
Sure are.
Catch us everywhere. And then, if you want to listen to this episode ad-free, you want to watch us on video, head on over to patreon.com/2BlackGirls1Rose. Become a member of the Rose Garden, our lit Patreon community. And you can try out a Patreon membership with a 7-day free trial. So make sure you check that out as well. Please continue to rate, review, and subscribe. Find us on Instagram, on TikTok. Share us with the world. Tags in your story. All that good stuff. Do we have any lovely church announcements?
Church announcements? No. No, none.
All good. All right. Let's just dive into this recap.
Let's do it.
So, we open up with Ashley, Giselle, and Mia. They are meeting to go shopping. Ashley is hosting this trip to Austin. Apparently she did a drag show there a few months ago. So I guess that's what Ashley's doing. So I'm like, how does she make money?
She's booked for the LGBTQIA stuff.
Like brunches.
She was booked for her Okay. Terrible song. Remember her song?
Oh God, she had a song.
I'm so happy for you that you never did not experience.
What was the song? Oh God,
don't worry about it. Yeah, so I'm good. She had a song and she performed at like the Potomac Pride.
I remember this.
It was it was like Richmond, Virginia Pride. It was
yikes. God.
Yeah, so this is what she put. Maybe that's the assistant. Maybe that's what they do.
Maybe that's what they do. Okay. Mm-hmm. So yeah, she did a little drag show in Austin. So now she's bringing the ladies to Austin to show them this the city that, their motto is like stay weird or something like that.
Yes. Isn't that Portland's thing too?
Oh my God, I think it is.
Y'all need to get it more free.
Y'all need to get it together. It is Austin, because I remember when I went seeing places. Went, yeah. But you're right. It also is like a Portland, Oregon thing, right?
Yeah. Yeah, keep Portland weird or whatever.
Keep Portland
weird. Y'all are gentrifying that shit and building up all these buildings that look exactly the same. What are you talking about? Keep it weird. Get out of here.
So her, Ashley, Ashley, Giselle, and Mia are shopping. Giselle brings up the whole NECA Wendy situation that went down at the pickleball tournament. Mm-hmm. You know, is she lying? You know, Giselle doesn't think she's lying because she's like, if she's bringing up Wendy's mother, if she's dragging Wendy's mom into it, I don't think anybody would do that. And the whole thing would be a lie.
Right.
They all kind of agree that they find NECA to be very smart, well-spoken, they believe what she was saying. Didn't seem like it was coming out of her ass. So we'll see. Meanwhile, Wendy and Happy Eddie are out for lunch.
Oh my God. Can we just recount this order?
What did they order?
Again, sun up, right? We have a sun up meal. Mm-hmm. So it's at least, it's like 3 o'clock. Right. And my man gets the pork belly sliders, the sea bass, and an old fashioned.
Having dinner.
I was like, Eddie, not only are you having dinner, you both have like very corporate jobs that you have to go to all the time. And also, it's midday. Midday. You don't eat all that. I'm so jealous.
I know. I love a pork belly slider. I will always order a pork belly slider if it's on the menu. I don't care what time it is. I'm going to go for the pork belly slider every time. Oh, God. But an old fashioned at three, that's a lot. That's a stiff drink.
But you know, you got to drink it with your sea bass.
Yeah, you do.
Oh, wow.
Eddie's going through it, you know? He got
on
camera. He's been made to lie about stuff he didn't have no intention of lying about. Now he's in it. God. So they rehashed the whole NECA drama, her mama, the shrine, all the allegations. Eddie's still claiming he just met Ike that day. Mm-hmm. He's saying he does not know that man. He just met him. And then Wendy now Wendy's trying to reclaim this narrative. Now Wendy's like, you know, I'm Igbo, she's Igbo, you know, how can she attack her fellow Igbo sister?
Yeah. But it, like, this week your fellows, last week you didn't know her.
Now she's your fellow sister.
Sistren.
Can you imagine? She wants to claim that narrative of she's going against, you know, culture and whatnot. Come on now. Yeah. The minute you denied knowing her.
I know.
Where it started.
Oh my God. The flashes of all the photos that they had.
All of the photos.
Like her, blatantly her sister.
Yes.
There with NECA, her husband.
Everybody.
Oh my God, everyone. Oh
God, Wendy, please. You can't have both. You cannot do both.
You can't. Yeah.
So anyways, we get a little scene with NECA and her husband, Ike. They go to the OBGYN, and she's discussing this pressure that she's under from her family to have a baby. She's 35. You know, they got married. They kind of, you know, been living their best life. And so now, you know, she feels ready to try. And they've been trying for 7 months. It's, you know, she's getting anxious, you know, and she has family breathing down her neck about getting it done.
Exactly.
I really resonated with her in this moment.
So hard. I resonated with her as a single person, as a person with a man. It doesn't matter. Like,
No matter. Yeah, I resonated with her when she said, you know, she's 35. She now feels ready. They're trying. Mm-hmm. It's taking some time. And just her worries around if and when it's going to happen. And the family in her ears being like, well, we told you so.
That's really it.
Yeah.
It's the fact that if you are trying to get pregnant and you are, as she says, having delayed success, which I love how she put that. All you need is support.
That's it.
Nice thoughts.
Yeah.
And happy thoughts.
That's it.
Positive things.
Yep.
And nice prayers. That's all you need. None of this, I told you so. Your kid should have been five by now. Like, that is
That's terrible.
A lot can happen in 3 years. Like a chatbot may be your new best friend. But what won't change? Needing health insurance. UnitedHealthcare tri-term medical plans, underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage that lasts nearly 3 years in some states. Learn more at uh1.com.
This show is sponsored by BetterHelp. Justine, there's something I gotta get off my chest, girl.
Tell me.
I've been low-key struggling with my relationship with my phone and social media. Just the over-accessibility these devices create, this addiction to Instagram, the distraction from everyday life and the people closest to me, it's been really stressing me out. I'm not even going to lie.
I mean, that makes sense. Content overload is very real, and staring at everybody's highlight reels can be overwhelming and can absolutely steal your joy and peace. We carry around different stressors, big and small. When we keep them bottled up, it can start to affect us negatively. Therapy is a safe space to get those things off your chest and to figure out how to work through whatever's weighing you down. You all know we're huge advocates of therapy. We talk about it all the time on this podcast. It's been tremendously beneficial throughout different stages of my life and areas where I've needed help. From eating disorders to new relationships to my ever-changing relationship with my family, therapy has really helped me to set boundaries and prioritize my self-care.
If you're thinking of starting therapy, give BetterHelp a try. It's entirely online, designed to be convenient, flexible, and suited to your schedule. Just fill out a brief questionnaire to get matched with a licensed therapist and switch therapists anytime for no additional charge.
Get it off your chest with BetterHelp. Visit BetterHelp.com/2BG1R today to get 10% off your first month. That's BetterHelp, HELP.com/2BG1R. Wild.
That's people terrible. Do it. People do it. Yeah. I'm fully prepared to get that same energy, honestly.
Yeah. Yeah.
Fully prepared for it. I'm about to be 34. I'm still taking my sweet old time trying to get ready. That's the fear, or that's not even just the fear, that's the annoyance.
Anticipation,
right? Of the everybody, you know, if Nate and I are going to have trouble getting pregnant or whatever, is hearing all of the, well, we told you, you should have started early. We told you, we told you. And that shit, I'm not getting that now because we're not trying, but like, I'm just so prepared to just ether the shit out of everybody in my family when I get that energy. I can't wait to just read everybody to filth, because as you said, the only thing you need is support.
That's it. Especially, it's so personal. Like, are you tracking the cycle? Are you doing my ovarian count? Are you taking the tests every morning? Are you looking up the vitamins?
Like,
no, you're just sitting here saying, I told you so. That's crazy.
Horrible. So anyways, they're at the OBG. NECA, she is, you know, feeling bad. In her confessional, she's feeling bad about how the whole Wendy thing went down. But as she said, the shrine thing in Nigeria is serious.
So, I dare say serious everywhere.
So she's like, when those words were put out there, like, I'm taking it seriously. And I'm not making it up. I'm taking it seriously, and I'm reporting to everybody what I heard her mom say. And that's that. So anyways, doctor comes in, everything seems to be fine, sperm count,
which is great,
which is good. But she's, again, she's like, we've been trying for 7 months. Ike thinks they're not trying enough.
Dare he say that because he's here only half of the month.
So that's what I'm saying.
I don't even know what you're asking, sir. And she has a job.
Right.
She can't just, oh, you came home? Let me lay down.
No. Right. Starfish it. Bitch, what? You haven't been here all week with your travel doctor ass. Like,
you know what I mean? Can you warm me up a little? Damn. God.
So yeah, the doctor says give it another 6 months and they should be fine.
Yeah,
I guess.
Yeah, that's what every doctor says. Yeah.
Just give it some time. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Now, Mia and Gordon. Oof.
Oh, my God. They go to counseling. I'm so happy this is not Dr. Ken.
Yeah. Like, we need a fresh face. Please. Bring in a fresh certified face. Board certified. Thank you.
Yes. Yeah. With all these states, because I feel like he's not certified in Georgia, Virginia, and Maryland.
Right. Where they do that at? I thought it was like the bar. Like, you do it in one place.
Right. You do it in one city.
I see flying around all over the place. I can't. So yeah, me and Gordon go to counseling. As Mia said, they went through a huge financial change. Their business, you know, him being voted out. They've had to downsize their whole life. They've had to navigate their relationship through all of that. And the fact that he was voted out of the business by his family. Now they're dealing with like family, you know, drama.
Yeah, dynamics. Yeah.
Yeah. And so Mia shares with the therapist that she at one point retained a divorce attorney because she was ready to divorce his ass.
To up and leave.
Up and leave.
She probably should have done.
Hanging on.
But
to-
I mean, she was there for the money. That's why she was. I don't know why she had kids with him.
Yeah. Well, she was there for the money. And
kids guarantee money.
Yeah, that brings longevity.
Yeah, that's true.
That money will be long when you have kids, you know?
It will.
So, she says she retained a divorce attorney. That was a surprise to him because he's like, I didn't know it was that bad between us. But the way Mia put it was they were arguing a lot. She came from a toxic household herself. She didn't want to be that, you know, those parents were fighting in front of the kids. And also, Gordon's been working a lot. Which that was confusing because I was like, he doesn't have
on what
on
girl?
What I thought the businesses but you know were what? Sold. I can't make sense of this.
I remember last season's reunion when Jacqueline was on stage and they were talking about Jacqueline's car. Right? Remember how he like signed for a car or some stupidness?
Yes, something
to that effect. I remember Mia saying, well, Gordon was the one to tell you to take out an LLC in your name so that you can have more earning power. And I was like, you shouldn't be saying that. I don't think that's like
revealing his,
advice.
I know,
warranted.
Revealing like, his scams and bad business advice. God.
So I think.
Oh, Lord.
I don't know.
I don't fully understand what's going on with them.
I don't either. And it's giving BS High. Like, it's
giving, it's giving Bishop Sycamore High School. Okay.
Wait. Oh, my God. Intermission. So small intermission. Okay. Have you watched Love Has Won, the documentary on HBO? Three-parter.
No.
About a cult.
No. I think you told me about this one, though. Which one is this one again?
It. Oh my God, this bitch started a cult on YouTube Live.
What?
Girl, 14 years strong. Yep.
Oh my God. I'm gonna definitely watch this one. Don't you worry. I told you I watched the Escaping. What was that one? Escaping Twin Flames.
Oh, yes. I have to watch Twin Flames.
I watched that one. Girl, yeah. People are fucking nuts. That one was a good one, too.
Yeah. We should do these. I think we should do. Love Has Won was a really good one.
A good one? Oh, I got to watch
it. It was really interesting.
Really?
Yeah. It was very disturbing at times, but also you were laughing because these people are crazy.
Like, literally, they lose all sense of common sense. It's nuts.
Yeah.
Damn. Okay, I got to tune into that one.
Yeah, it was really good. Anyways, sorry.
Anyways, back. So, I got confused because Mia is saying, you know, Gordon's working too much. She just wants him to retire and to have more work-life balance. But then, so you want him to retire, but then you don't have money. that's why you guys moved into a rental home. Retiring with what? Like, how? It just...
But you know what? I don't
understand it. Yeah, I don't know. I don't understand it.
You know, and this is part of my lessons learned here, friend. You know, is this still entertaining?
Is this still entertaining?
401k.
Right. This is Mia's storyline. That's why we're talking about it. Her storyline is their finances or lack thereof. Yeah. It's their whole storyline, which is like, care.
I don't, because it's not the full story. I don't
know. We're not getting
to really know. I don't want to be in on the full story.
I don't want to be in on it. Yeah.
And I really don't want to see you shifting through plastic hangers with your real hair. You know?
Oh god, no. So then Mia shares some wild stories. Another bad business deal that went down.
I know.
They were selling something and they had retained an attorney. Again, they're retaining a lot. You know but how expensive attorney fees are? They get eaten up alive just by all these attorney fees that they're paying.
But they're paying them through the other businesses, PPP loans.
Yes.
You know this nigga is
robbing Peter to pay Paul. Yup. So yeah, there was some sale of some business, some attorney that was retained. The attorney took, you know, sold the business and then kept the money in escrow, promised to pay them. He didn't pay them. They ended up filing, you know, a complaint the bar. There he went again, suing. They filed some complaint with the bar. The attorney ended up getting disbarred. Mm-hmm. And then he ended up committing suicide, which took such a twist. I was like, what? Yeah. That is nuts.
That's like something you see in a movie. It was crazy.
Straight up. Really wild. And then, you know, Mia's telling the whole story. She's getting very emotional. And then I got confused again because she then started talking about the family. Like, what then with the family? So I was like, was the attorney part of the family?
I don't know. Oh, my God. That would be wild. That would be crazy. I don't know. I don't know if that attorney... Like, if that attorney getting disbarred meant that he also was, like, outed in some other kind of way, and that's why he killed himself? He was, like, dealing with some other shenanigans, and that money that was in escrow was, like, really with the Maryland mob.
Like, the cartel or some shit. Yeah.
Yeah.
It sounds like he got caught, and he'd been doing this. He does this.
Right, right.
And, you know, he's pushed to the edge, and that's how he decided to solve it for himself. Really sad, really fucking crazy. And yeah, Mia just sounds very, you know, she has Gordon, her husband, who's involved in all these shady business deals and is always going the legal route. And she just wants everything to be reconciled. And then let's just work on the family. But they're just like on two different pages and it's a mess.
Yeah, which I would think that Gordon would be more on Mia's side and Mia would be more on Gordon's side. Judging from how they met and why they're married. Right? I would think that Gordon would be the one to be like, you know what? Let's just glue the family together. Don't worry about that Swedish bank account.
Yeah.
Bahamas girl. Let's just glue the family back together. But he's not, which is interesting.
Yeah, it is interesting. And Mia is the one that's being more focused on family and is less on the money, which is not how we were introduced to her. It was very much like...
Right.
Gold digging, like, and what, and you know, and I said,
type
of energy, Anyways, time for Austin. The ladies meet at gate C13 at the airport,
at least the Delta lounge, bitch.
No Sky Miles lounge, no American Express lounge. Nobody had nothing.
Y'all don't go nowhere. Not one of you. None of you go nowhere. Giselle, you were flying back and forth to go see Jamal all them times. You don't have miles. Girl, what is this?
They were sent with Jen Pop at the gate.
Oh my God. It was so upsetting to me. It was so disturbing to me that nobody had a cocktail, a mimosa, a separate lounge, a chair with arms, a charger, a phone charger, nothing.
Nope. Nada.
Oh God, it was so basic.
Very.
Oh God.
Oh Lord. So NECA, she arrives. She says hi to Wendy. Yeah. And as she said mm-hmm. her confession, she's like, I'm going to treat her with kindness and respect. That's that. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And I don't know. I feel like I would be operating kind of like NECA. Like, when I show up, hey, Wendy, what's up? Yeah. Like, Wendy's MO of like ignoring and pretending people aren't there is really
that is
disturbing to me. I really don't like that.
Why? Because she's a grown woman.
Because she's a grown woman. Like, even Candace and Giselle don't really fuck with each other, but I feel like they at least say hi or like,
yeah, you know, and Ashley and Candace too. And Ashley's husband is suing her for millions of dollars.
Literally. Yeah. And they do the fake, you know, hey. But
yeah.
The Wendy just like ice cold wall. It's impressive in its own way, but it's just like weird. It's impressive in its own way.
It's impressive.
Yeah. But just seeing her doing this with NECA in particular, and I get it, NECA just called your mama, which you don't owe her shit. I get that too, but I don't know. I think I'm just so distraught that these two women are fighting. Like these.
I know. I'm distraught by the whole thing. I'm distraught that NECA is now aligning with Mia, Giselle, and Ashley.
Right.
That is very upsetting. And then I'm upset that Wendy is icing her out so bad that she can't even really move, you know?
Yeah. Ugh. So anyways, they get to Austin. They split up into different cars. Robin and Candace are tight because they're in the same car. They beefing. Mm-hmm. So they're very uncomfortable.
I love how they did the cars, though, by sign. I thought that was really fun.
Oh, the fire and the earth sign or whatever.
Yeah, it was cute. It's different.
It was cute. And then the other car, we have Giselle and Karen are, you know, talking about Karen's relationship to Robin. And Karen brings up this whole analogy about a pie in the freezer. I don't know where she was going with this. It wasn't hitting.
No one does. This is one of Karen's best strategies is delusion.
Delusion.
Delusions of grandeur.
Yeah.
Is one of her best. Yeah.
Oh my God. So yeah, they get to Austin, they arrive, they move into their rooms, they all go their separate ways, yada yada.
Yes. I was so happy that we are not sharing rooms and sharing beds. I was anticipating sharing rooms and twin beds, even fulls.
No. But we got I don't trust Ashley to plan a trip. So this was nice that they all had their own space. spaces. So yes, they meet at the pool and Karen immediately calls out the elephant in the room. The first one being between Giselle and Candace. So we're not even at NECA and Wendy. So Giselle and Candace, first of all, what's going on here? And they're both saying essentially the same things. Like Giselle's like for her mental space and the safety of her family, she chooses not to participate in any dealings with Candace. Candace is the same thing. The way that you came at my husband and threw our family into disarray because of the things that you said about him. So they just both agreed to disagree and they're like never going to be friends. Like,
yeah,
there's just nothing good that's going to come from Giselle and Candace conversing.
Talking.
Yep. But of course, Karen, you know, she's going to try. She's going to always try because. In particular, I mean, what Karen said is like, me and you, Giselle, have gone to hell and back, and we're sitting here.
Have they? Have they?
Yeah, I don't know. Have there been like allegations against?
I don't.
Husbands.
Definitely. Like I mean, I don't think Giselle ever said that Ray wanted to have sex with her during a reunion taping.
Right. Bring her into a room. That's never happened. Yeah. So.
And I don't think Karen ever called Giselle white.
Yeah.
And she gets away with things and called out her ovaries. I don't think that's happened.
Yeah.
But you know, they've been through the Lynx, Jack and Jill, and AKA functions through the past 30 years. And that ain't nothing.
That's nothing. They've been through some mess. But yeah, Giselle and Candace is on some other shit. Like we was talking about people's uteruses and husbands touching them up in rooms and shit. Like it's just I don't know if they're ever going to be able to come back from that. Now, quick side note, Robin and Mia had their own little scene walking and talking. Mia shares the whole drama with the attorney and the wild suicide, you know, situation that went down. And Robin had a similar situation happen with her a few years ago, which I forgot about that. one of Juan's friends stole a bunch of their money. I think it was like a friend and former teammate, right?
Was he a former teammate?
I think he also played with him, yeah. Mm. Stole a bunch of his money and then also committed suicide at the end. So, so Mia felt comfortable sharing this with Robin because she went through something surprisingly very similar. This is crazy that this is a thing.
This is a thing. This happens.
This happens.
Man, capitalism the devil. God,
the capital is the devil. Got you stealing from your friend and then killing yourself in the like what? Oh god. Horrible. So back with the ladies, Mia and Robin eventually join. They bring up the whole NECA allegations. And NECA is doubling down on these threats. She says she has the call logs. She said, these are not my words. These is Wendy's mom's own words, the shrine, the threats, this and that. They also, as a group, bring up how Wendy's mom, I don't know if this was recent or maybe last season, was like going off on social media about Mia.
Oh, Mia.
Mm-hmm.
Which, is she wrong? No.
I mean, Mia literally came for her daughter's neck last season.
Whole body.
Whole body was throwing bows. Yeah. So, not, you know, mad at that. But Wendy got to reading some of these.
The language used was very specific. NECA's allegations.
Yeah, it did not help one bit. So Wendy whipped out her phone and was like, all right, well, I'll read what was said, and was reading these tweets, I guess, or whatever this was. And her mom was saying something about, you know, Mia's a crater-faced bitch and blah, 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 but ended it with Holy Ghost fire and thunderstorm. Amen.
Thunderstorm. Amen. Thunderstorm?
Thunderstorm?
I don't think thunderstorms are good.
Yeah. Like... And Holy Ghost fire?
Fire. What is that? That's like, what that sounds like code, bro. That sounds like a code that I don't know about.
It
that
sounds like some I don't understand. It sounds like, yes, we are calling upon somebody. And it's not within the realm of the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ is what. So when she said out loud, everybody was looking around each other like... Air to shit.
Oh my God. Giselle was a pastor's wife for how long? And she was like,
Oh, no. And then Wendy read it and was like, see, there's nothing there. There's nothing there. And I'm like, bitch, you just said thunderstorm? What is that? I've never given a prayer with the term thunderstorm in it. What?
No.
Mm-mm. Oh, my God. So then Wendy and NECA, you know, get into it. And... Mm-hmm. Now Wendy's story is how, you know, my sister and your cousin are beefing. It's actually, this is all about them. They've been on and off friends for 2 years. This is what all of this is about. Mm-hmm. And that's Wendy's now story. And NECA's like, no, the story is your family didn't want me to be on this show. And that's it. You guys have been calling me clout chasing. That's what your sister was saying. Mm-hmm. This is what that is about. Mm-hmm. And I agree with NECA. Is this not what it's about?
I think it's both.
I think the sister and the cousin maybe has some beef or something going on.
I think they've been like on and off. I think it's been like a whole thing. Mm-hmm. And they're taking it to the extreme. Yeah. Like, these are grown women. Stay out of their friendships.
Yeah.
Can you imagine? Can you imagine your mother going after your friends like that? Get out of here. That lady don't know all of that.
That's too much.
Oh God, she's not as invested. Like, my mom wishes all my friends, past, future, present, whoever, the best.
Yeah, none of this, that's like, it.
Thunderstorm, fire, Holy Ghost, come down and rain on them.
No,
none of this.
No.
This is dramatic.
Too dramatic. So they go. Burp nearly took me out. Sorry, y'all. Oh God. So they go back and forth. Mm-hmm. NECA's got the call logs, April 2nd. This phone call was made April 7th. Your sister called April, like, just going through all the stuff. Mm-hmm. Wendy continues to deny NECA and NECA's cousin that she doesn't know her. And she's like, that's my sister's friend. I don't know Lebe. That's my sister's friend. I have nothing to do with her.
Flashback was mean. That flashback was
awful. That shit was devastating to Wendy.
Wendy is just talking out of her ass. Footage exists. Pictures exist. Text message screenshots exist. Oh my God. What are you doing? So she just flat out denied NECA's cousin now. I don't know her. Mm-hmm. That's my sister's friend. Bravo pulls the footage of 3 years ago at Wendy and Happy Eddie's, like, I guess, sip and see for their last baby, where Wendy is on the mic announcing Lebe, NECA's cousin, giving her all this praise and welcoming as her. Someone,
yeah, who her daughter should emulate.
Emulate.
She said that at her face.
Yeah.
She said that she doesn't know her. Wendy, these lies are so extreme, Wendy. They're
so extreme.
Like, you could say we're not that close.
Say that.
You could say, you could, like, really, you have to be looser. These extreme things, like, I don't.
I don't.
Or I never.
Right.
Or, all these things. We have to stop saying these things.
Yeah, stop. Oh, my God. So they run the tape. NECA, is, her face is just sitting there because she's just like.
Yeah. Because she knows they're going to run the tape.
She knows they're going to run the tape. Literally. She knows. And everybody's looking confused because a lot of them were at that sip and see. So now they're wrecking their brains like, oh, my God. Wait a second. Wait a second now. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. And they're all looking confused and looking at Wendy sideways because it's not adding up. And that was the episode.
That was these ladies.
These ladies. Next week we see Wendy, not Wendy, Robin's going to be in the hot seat.
Yeah, yeah.
With Juan and whatever foolishness they're going to come for her next week.
Whatever. Yeah. That she just doesn't care about.
That she don't
guys.
Care about.
Oh my God. Why would you ever care about me?
It was about to be boo hoo hoo balling in the SUV.
On the street.
On the street
again,
corner.
Here we go with the wealth. On the streets. Waiting for the Uber X. Oh, God.
And then we saw a quick moment. There was like they're at brunch or something, and like a black crow comes by. And Mia says to Wendy, "That's not your mama, is it?" Oh, God.
I died. I was like,
horrible. Horrible. Oh my God. Ooh. Wendy's got to rein her mama in. She's got to rein her in.
She really does.
Because this is awful. Really now does. There's allegations that your mama does voodoo. Now Mia finds it so bold to say out her mouth, is that your mama? Like,
because Mia's bold.
Because Mia's bold. Care. Yeah. Mm-hmm. But this is like, why is your mama and witchcraft and voodoo being talked about? You got to rein your mama in.
A la Candy, right?
Yes.
Candy Burris.
Yes.
You got to rein her in before she's a gif, before she's a character, before she's a whole thing.
This is too much. This is too much. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Oh, Lord. Anyways, friend, what did we learn this episode?
You know, I think that because these ladies have such juicy, long-term, fantastic friendships, a lot of the time we can discard the fact that they are regular, a lot of them. And they're, especially the wardrobe choices, like, really get on my nerves. Howsomever, I also think, because me and Crunch were discussing this last night, and he pointed out, not only does not everybody has access to the same type of clothing that the girls from New York, the girls from Beverly Hills have, but also the types of, like, bodies that these girls have are not made for vintage Dior. They're not made for all of the things that these other girls are sourcing, like Erica Jane, to slither into this latex with this baby oil and, like, do this confessional. Like, they're just not. The access is not there on multiple levels.
Okay.
And so I think we have to figure out, especially for Potomac, and Atlanta is so tacky.
There's too many labels. They just wear labels up and down.
Many labels. It's so new money. It's terrible.
Yeah, very nouveau.
But I think they're getting better, right? I think Ashley's confessional looks got better this season. I really liked her little short bob lob confessional with the blue. So it was real cute. So we're having some gradual effects. I think Candace also has done a really good arc. Karen has done a great arc. But I think because their drama is so good, they are still entertaining as women who are not as flamboyantly wealthy as these other ladies. But I still would like to see an upgrade.
Yeah, I mean,
yeah.
Ashley, if you got money. Ashley, girl, you are staying with that
old raisin man. Why are you still wearing Forever 21? Why
don't
we have
a glam team like budget paid for by Michael Darby? You know, like, but Ashley's not even the concern because she looks good, I think.
She looks better.
Yeah. Looks better, we'll say. Yeah, yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, my Lord. These
anyway,
ladies.
Wait, friend, I'm so excited to talk about your question, friend. What do you think about the jealousy? In the
yeah, I actually didn't give it much thought before I, like, came up with this question, right?
Well,
the fly.
I think it's a good one, though.
I'm going to piece together my thoughts right now. But yeah, the question of can jealousy ever exist in a friendship? And looking at NECA and Wendy, and if they have hope, seeing that they're starting off on this foot where both of them seem to be exhibiting some type of jealousy towards the other. I feel like it's a slippery slope. I feel like you can have definitely feel it, like you can definitely harbor feelings of envy or I don't know the difference actually between jealousy and envy, if there is a difference.
There is a difference.
And okay.
And I never catch it. It's the same with effect and effect. I never catch it.
Okay. Yeah.
Never get it. Yeah.
Never. Yeah.
Put down in the comments if you know.
Right. The difference between envy and jealousy. I think a lot of people probably harbor some form of like subconscious envy or jealousy a friend, but can put it aside or keep it dormant in a way that it doesn't ever exhibit as not being supportive of your friend you know, trying to tear your friend down because she has too much or is, you know, doing too much. So yeah, that's my short answer, is that I think many of us probably have a friend that they have something that you wish you had. And that can exist and you can still be a friend with them, you know? But yeah, I think it is slippery. It is a slippery slope because if you are not, if you have enough going on in your own, you know, insecurity with yourself and you then can't show up for your friend because you're jealous of her or whatnot, that's when it's a problem. I think there's people who can be secure in themselves and have those feelings, but then there's the people that are insecure with themselves that I then wonder if they can still be a supportive friend when they have those feelings of jealousy towards their friend,
right,
who's just living and existing and not, you know, didn't do nothing. They just have something that you want, but they didn't, like,
right,
you know, they're not putting in your face or anything like that. I don't know, but
I think what you said, I think it makes some great points. I think the jealousy itself as the emotion that it is actually breeds the insecurity that gets so big to where you try to sabotage your friend's life instead of supporting them. And I think how you eliminate that insecurity, not how you eliminate the jealousy, but the insecurity, is just by admitting it. I think you can just say it. I welcome it so much. I want what you have and I don't have it. And it makes me feel insecure about this one area of my life. You don't have to say it like that to your friend. You could even just say that out loud to yourself. And it will get smaller. I think what happens is that that kind of shame breeds in the dark phrase. I think that's really true. And I think jealousy is a very shameful emotion in this modern times. People get really annoyed when people say people are jealous of other people. And I do not think it should be shameful at all to be jealous of anybody, especially if you're jealous of like an institution, right? Like I've said that I'm jealous of some of the white men that I used to work with because I'm like, your life is so easy. Like everybody believes everything you say all the time. Like that is so easy. Of course. Yeah. I'm jealous that you have that route of life and I have a completely different route in life. And that is not my fault. And I do not feel insecure about my blackness. I do not feel insecure about my womanhood. I feel insecure about white supremacy. So I think that's it. I think it's just breeds in the dark. It gets too big.
Yeah.
And that's when you can't show up for your friend.
Yeah. Yeah. I think speaking it out to yourself, because I think it's probably more common than not. I think a lot of people probably, I mean, as friends, I mean, generally your friends, you're close with them. You're seeing them all the time. You're all up in their life. You know, you're seeing a lot of it. So you're finding things that you're like, oh man, I wish I had that. But yeah, acknowledging it within yourself so it doesn't like breed some type of resentment or start to play out in ways where you're not showing up for your friend. Because then your friend's going to figure that out. They're going to pick up on it.
The energy. Yeah, it's going to be bad energy.
It's going to be bad energy. Yeah.
Yeah.
So yeah, with Nekka and Wendy, I don't know. Because I think both of these women have too big of egos to admit ever. Full of pride. They would both say, I'm not jealous of her. There's nothing she has that I want, which I don't think is true. I think they probably both have something that the other one wants. Yeah. But they would probably have to admit that to themselves first, come to peace with that, and then be able to somehow move forward. But I don't know. When it's starting off a friendship with this beginning, this foundation of, you know, jealousy, it doesn't feel healthy in any way, shape, or form. So I don't know if they have hope, these two.
Even blaming the jealousy, huh? Like Wendy's even saying to Nekka, like, oh, well, God, you took his lunch break on you. You know what I mean? Yeah. She's even like already just like calling out for her, which I don't think is productive either.
No, not at all. But yeah, what do you guys think? Have you ever been in a friendship or still have a friendship with a friend who you thought was jealous of you, or you were jealous of them? Did you guys speak it out? Do you think you can have jealousy and envy exist in a friendship? Does anything that we're saying make sense, or you're like, no, girl, that doesn't work? That don't work. That's not friendship. Let us know. I'm curious. Email 2blackgirls1rose@gmail.com. All right, friend, that was it. These ladies in Austin. We'll see. Hopefully more happens next week. Join the Rose Garden at Patreon, patreon.com/2blackgirls1rose to unlock all of our bonus content, ad-free episodes, video, all that good stuff. Rate, review, subscribe, and we'll be back next week.
Sure will. Bye, guys.
Bye.
Hold up. What was that? Boring. No flavor. That was as bad as those leftovers you ate all week. Keke Palmer here. And it's time to say hello to something fresh and guilt-free. HelloFresh. Jazz up dinner with pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Now that's music to my mouth. HelloFresh. Let's get this dinner party started. Discover all the delicious possibilities at HelloFresh.com.
Need new glasses or want a fresh new style? Warby Parker has you covered. Glasses start at just $95, including anti-reflective, scratch-resistant prescription lenses that block 100% of UV rays. Every frame's designed in-house with a huge selection of styles for every face shape. And with Warby Parker's free home try-on program, you can order 5 pairs to try at home for free. Shipping is free both ways, too. Go to warbyparker.com/covered to try 5 pairs of frames at home for free. warbyparker.com/covered.
Planning for your next trip?
Elevate your travel style with Quince.
Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And is all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to Quince.com/pack for free shipping and 365-day returns.